In what do you put your hope? LifeSpring Family Audio Bible, episode number 140. Welcome. I'm glad to see you today. My name is Steve Webb, and I'm your host. This is the podcast where we are reading through the Bible in 1 year. How are you today? If you'd like to get in touch with me, my email address is steve@lifespringmedia.com. Our reading today will be the final chapters in 2 Corinthians, chapters 11 through 13. If you'd like to know what Bible translations I'm using today, you can find that at bible.lifespringmedia.com. Look for episode 140. Well, of course, it's November, and this month we're celebrating the 16th anniversary of LifeSpring Media. Horn here. At least I'm trying to, but these political events are really sort of stealing my thunder. Sheesh, the nerve of those guys. Still, I'm inviting you to help me celebrate 16 years this coming Friday the 13th, which is the official anniversary date. Hey, send me an email telling me how you found LifeSpring, how you found this show, maybe what it's meant to you, whatever. Write an email or record some audio, or send a video. I'd like to include some of your submissions on the show that day, which will be show number 145. Also, there are special donation amounts that I've designated to receive special bonuses from yours truly. Take a look at lifespringmedia.com/support for details. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we open your word today, I pray that you would show us by your Holy Spirit what you want us to hear, what you want us to see, what you want us to bring into our lives. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's begin. Second Corinthians chapter 11. I hope you'll put up with me in a little foolishness. Yes, please put up with me. I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. I promised you to one husband, to Christ, so that I might present you as a pure virgin to him. But I am afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. For if someone comes to you and preaches a Jesus other than the Jesus we preached, or if you receive a different spirit from the spirit you received, or a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it easily enough. I do not think I am in the least inferior to those super apostles. I may indeed be untrained as a speaker, but I do have knowledge. We have made this perfectly clear to you in every way. Was it a sin for me to lower myself in order to elevate you by preaching the gospel of God to you free of charge? I robbed other churches by receiving support from them so as to serve you. And when I was with you and needed something, I was not a burden to anyone, for the brothers who came from Macedonia supplied what I needed. I have kept myself from being a burden to you in every way and will continue to do so. As surely as the truth of Christ is in me, nobody in the regions of Achaia will stop this boasting of mine. Why? Because I do not love you? God knows I do. And I will keep on doing what I'm doing in order to cut the ground from under those who want an opportunity to be considered equal with us in the things they boast about. For such people are false apostles, deceitful workers, masquerading as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It is not surprising, then, if his servants also masquerade as servants of righteousness. Their end will be what their actions deserve. I repeat, let no one take me for a fool. But if you do, then tolerate me just as you would a fool, so that I may do a little boasting. In this self-confident boasting, I'm not talking as the Lord would, but as a fool. Since many are boasting in the way the world does, I too will boast. You gladly put up with fools, since you are so wise. In fact, you even put up with anyone who enslaves you, or exploits you, or takes advantage of you, or puts on airs, or slaps you in the face. To my shame, I admit that we were too weak for that. Whatever anyone dares to boast about, I'm speaking as a fool, I also dare to boast about. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they Abraham's descendants? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I'm out of my mind to talk like this. I am more. I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 time I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak, and I do not feel weak? Who is led into sin, and I do not inwardly burn? If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. The God and Father of the Lord Jesus, who is to be praised forever, knows that I am not lying. In Damascus, the governor under King Herodias had the city of the Damascenes guarded in order to arrest me, but I was lowered in a basket from a window in the wall and slipped through his hands. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I have to talk about myself, even if it does no good, but I will keep on telling about some things I saw in a special dream and that which the Lord has shown me. I know a man who belongs to Christ. 14 years ago, he was taken up to the highest heaven. I do not know if his body was taken up or just his spirit. Only God knows. I say it again. I know this man was taken up, but I do not know if his body or just his spirit was taken up. Only God knows. When he was in the highest heaven, he heard things that cannot be told with words. No man is allowed to tell them. I will be proud about this man, but I will not be proud about myself, except to say things which show how weak I am. Even if I talk about myself, I would not be a fool because it is the truth. But I will say no more because I want no one to think better of me than he does when he sees or hears me. The things God showed me were so great, but to keep me from being too full of pride because of seeing these things, I have been given trouble in my body. It was sent from Satan to hurt me. It keeps me from being proud. I asked the Lord 3 times to take it away from me. He answered me, "I am all you need. I give you my loving favor. My power works best in weak people. I am happy to be weak and have troubles so I can have Christ's power in me. I receive joy when I am weak. I receive joy when people talk against me and make it hard for me and try to hurt me and make trouble for me. I receive joy when all these things come to me because of Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I've been making a fool of myself talking like this, but you made me do it. You should be telling what I have done. Even if I'm nothing at all, I am not less important than those false missionaries of yours. When I was with you, I proved to you that I was a true missionary. I did powerful works, and there were special things to see. These things were done in the strength and power from God. What makes you feel less important than the other churches? Is it because I did not let you give me food and clothing? Forgive me for this wrong. This is the 3rd time I'm ready to come to you. I want nothing from you. I want you, not your money. You are my children. Children should not have to help care for their parents. Parents should help their children. I'm glad to give anything I have, even myself, to help you. When I love you more, it looks as if you love me less. It is true that I was not a heavy load to you. But some say I set a trap for you. How could I have done that? Did I get anything from you through the men I sent to you? I asked Titus and the other Christian brother to visit you. Did Titus get anything from you? Did we not do things that showed we had the same desires and followed the same plan? It may look to you as if we'd been trying to make everything look right for ourselves all this time. God knows, and so does Christ, that all this is done to help you. I'm afraid that when I visit you, I will not find you as I would like you to be, and you will not find me as you would like me to be. I'm afraid I will find you fighting and jealous and angry and arguing and talking about each other and thinking of yourselves as being too important and making trouble. I'm afraid when I get there, God will take all the pride away from me that I had for you. I will not be happy about many who have lived in sin and done sex sins and have had a desire for such things and have not been sorry for their sins and turned from them. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. This is my third visit to you. The holy writings tell us that when people think someone has done wrong, it must be proven by two or three people who saw the wrong being done. During my second visit, I talked to you who have been sinning and to all the others. While I am away, I tell you this again. The next time I come, I will be hard on those who sin. Since you want to know, I will prove to you that Christ speaks through me. Christ is not weak when he works in your hearts. He uses his power in you. Christ's weak human body died on a cross. It is by God's power that Christ lives today. We're weak. We are as he was. But we will be alive with Christ through the power God has for us. Put yourselves through a test. See if you belong to Christ. Then you will know you belong to Christ, unless you do not pass the test. I trust you see that we belong to him and have passed the test. We pray to God that you do no wrong. We do not pray this to show that our teaching is so great, but that you will keep on doing what is right, even if it looks as if we have done much wrong. We cannot work against the truth of God. We only work for it. We are glad when we are weak and you are strong. We pray that you will become strong Christians. This is why I'm writing these things while I'm away from you. Then when I get there, I will not have to use strong words or punish you to show you that the Lord gives me this power. This power is to be used to make you stronger Christians, not to make you weak by hurting your faith. Last of all, Christian brothers, goodbye. Do that which makes you complete. Be comforted. Work to get along with others. Live in peace. The God of love and peace will be with you. Greet each other with a kiss of holy love. All those here who belong to Christ say hello. May you have loving favor from our Lord Jesus Christ. May you have the love of God. May you be joined together by the Holy Spirit. Here in this last chapter, chapter 13, verse 5, Paul said, "Put yourself through a test. See if you belong to Christ." That's from our translation today, the New Life Version. But in the New American Standard, Paul says, "Test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves. Or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test?" Beloved, given the turmoil in our nation as I record this, and given that none of us can say with certainty what the outcome of the election will be, this is a good time, I believe, to focus on what we truly believe right down to our core. Where is your faith? In what do you put your hope? Will government save you? Is your hope in one candidate or another? One political party or another? What eternal significance is there in who wins an election? Listen, no matter which side ultimately ends up winning this election, and lest you think that the media declaring a winner makes it official, it doesn't. This year it looks like the courts will decide based on the outcome of investigations of ballot tampering. But no matter the victor, if I test myself and find that I am in the faith, as Paul put it, my answers to the questions I posed a few seconds ago are easy. Those questions again. Where is your faith? My faith is in Jesus. In what do you put your hope? I put my hope in God's sovereignty. Will government save me? Never. Is my hope in one candidate or another? My hope is in Christ alone. One political party or another? Neither. What eternal significance is there in who wins an election? The answer to that is absolutely none. You see, one thing I've learned in my 66 years walking around this planet is that the only thing we can count on here is change. Nothing remains the same. Back in the day, I used to attend Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, when Chuck Smith was the pastor. I remember him telling the story one day about how he had recently bought a brand new car. If I remember right, he said it was the very first brand new car that he'd ever bought. And one day, he came out of a store to find that someone had dinged his brand new car as it sat in the parking lot.
and he was so upset. Someone had hit his brand new car with their door. How inconsiderate! And now his paint was chipped. And do you know what happened? His young son said, "Dad, it's all going to burn." And so it is. Jesus said in Matthew and in Luke, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." Those of us who belong to Jesus are just travelers here. This is not our home. We are citizens of the kingdom of God. And as we look at the example of Jesus when he lived here on earth, the Jews were ruled by Rome. They had very few freedoms, and the people were looking for a Messiah who would crush Rome and set them free and set up his kingdom. Well, to be sure, this was a worthy desire on their part, but his call was to do the will of the Father, which was to live a perfect life, to die on the cross for my sin and yours, and rise again on the third day, showing forever that he is who he said he is. Our time on earth here is limited, beloved. Should we devote our time on the temporary things of this world or on the eternal? Should I serve the media masters who try to lead the people around by the nose with whatever they put in the headlines, the evening news, or whatever is trending online? No. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Do you have a comment? Write to me at steve@lifespringmedia.com. Our reading tomorrow will be Exodus 29 through 32. Send me something, beloved, for the show on November 13th, show number 145, be it an email, audio, or a donation. Check out details at lifespringmedia.com/support. Thank you. Until tomorrow, may God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb. Thank you for being here. Bye.